It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Today we want to continue our study in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 13. Now, if you remember the last time we were together, now I want to read chapter 13, verse 6, and start out there. But Paul and Barnabas was on their second missionary journey, and the second stop they made was in Paphos. Verse 6 of chapter 13 of Acts says, "And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." Well, this man, this sorcerer, claimed to be a Jew. He claimed to be he was a Jew, and he claimed to be a true prophet of God, but he, in reality, was a false prophet. Well, the Bible goes on to say in verses 9 and 10 of Acts 13, it says, "Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" Well, this man was an enemy. He was not a child of God. He was a child of the devil. And whenever God does a great work, Satan tries to hinder it and stop it. Elymas did not want Sergius Paulus to hear God's word. Well, this sort of just backfired on this man, because we see that God's hand came down upon this evil man in judgment, and he was stricken with blindness. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, "Now behold, the hand of the Lord was upon thee, and is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind." Well, you keep on reading here, and we find out that this man was already spiritually blind. He was not saved. And suddenly, because of God's judgment, he became physically blind also. As we keep reading here, we understand that when light comes, man is given the opportunity to receive Christ as Savior. And if they don't do this, there's a condemnation. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 says this, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." And then in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Well, we see as a result here of this miracle, the man was stricken with blindness. We see, because of this miracle, Sergius Paulus believes. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, "Then the deputy," and this is Sergius Paulus, "the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." Well, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 9, we learn that Saul was also called Paul. And before Acts 13, 9, he is always called Saul. And after Acts 13, 9, he is always called Paul. From now on, we will refer to him as Paul. Well, Antioch and Pisidia, the team left Cyprus and arrived in Perga, and this trip was about 180 miles over water. This would not have been easy traveling for these men. When we think of this, we have the comforts today of being able to travel, we'll say, so much in comfort. But back then, it was very hard for people to get around. They had to go by boat, by land. They had to do a lot of walking. And we understand that sometimes we think we've got it rough when we're serving the Lord. But think about these people who lived back then and how they had to endure hardships. But God blessed them greatly. And you say, well, how did God bless them? He blessed them greatly by them seeing souls saved. Well, it was at Perga that John Mark decided to turn back. And remember, John Mark had come to be with them. And from this point on, Paul and Barnabas would travel without Mark. Acts chapter 13, verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Well, the next city which they came to was Antioch in Pisidia. And Acts 13 and verse 14 says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now, once again, people wonder, well, these men were saved. Why did they keep going into the synagogue? Well, they went into the synagogue to preach the word of God. And once again, I remind you, they went to where the people were. The more people, the more opportunity for more people to get saved. So they would go to the synagogue and preach the word of God. Now, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, I want to go back there and read this just a moment. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and once again Saul. Now I said we're going to refer to Saul once again as Paul from this point on, but Acts 13:1 is before his name was changed. But if you'll notice here, they were at Antioch here. And this is where Paul and Barnabas started out from. And Paul and Barnabas once again entered the Jewish synagogue on the Sabbath day. This would be on Saturday. And sat down according to Acts chapter 13, verse 14. And after the scripture was read, the rulers of the synagogue asked Paul and Barnabas if they had anything they wanted to say to the people. And once again, the Bible tells us that they stood up and began speaking. You read about this in verse 16. We'll read about that in just a moment. After the reading of the law, verse 15 of Acts 13 says, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. In Acts chapter 13, verse 16, then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. And he's meaning, pay attention, listen now to what I have to say. Well, Paul's message is found in Acts chapter 13, verses 16 through 41. And in his message, he talked about certain things from the Old Testament, which were very familiar to the Jews. And this would be such as the time when God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, the wilderness journey, and the period of Judges, King Saul and King David. Well, then he preached Christ to them. He led up to the point where they could understand that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and that they needed to trust him as Lord and Savior. Well, at the end of his message, Paul told them how they could have their sins forgiven and how they could be justified. Now, once again, in Acts chapter 13, and verse 23, it says of this man's seed, David, once again, Acts chapter 13, verse 22, hath God, he's talking about Christ now, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And then we read in Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39, it says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this name, of course, this is Jesus, through this name is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Well, according to Paul in Acts chapter 13, verse 39, God will forgive all who believe, and all are justified who believe Jesus is the Savior. Well, notice now that some Gentiles also attended the synagogue services. And after Paul had finished preaching the gospel, they wanted him to return to preach again on the next Sabbath. Notice verse 42 of Acts chapter 13. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Well, God's word produces a great crowd, according to Acts chapter 13 and verse 44, where it says, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." In other words, the word had gotten out that these men were preaching something, and they were preaching something that people needed to hear, and people were telling each other it was important for them to be there. So the whole city turned out. And notice now something took place here. Acts chapter 13 and verse 45. Now remember, the whole city came together. They were interested in what Paul and Barnabas had to say. It says in verse 45, "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." And verse 50 of Acts chapter 13 says, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts." In verse 51, it says, "Paul and Barnabas shook off the dust off their feet." Now notice it says, "But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium." Well, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14 says, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." You know, as we go from door to door witnessing for the Lord, and we go someplace and tell people about Jesus Christ, if there's ridicule, if they continually just make fun of us and do something that we don't think is right according to what God wants, we don't get mad about it. We don't lash out at these people. We pray for them, and we ask God to save them. But when we leave that place, it's as though, well, you're on your own now. We've told you the truth. We've told you about Jesus, and it's up to you to receive or reject him. And therefore, when we leave, we've done our part. It's up to the individual then that has heard the word of God to do their part, and their part is simply receiving. They can do nothing to save themselves. They simply receive the free gift of Jesus Christ. It says in the Bible that it's, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. So when we get saved, it's nothing that we have really done. It's what Jesus has done. We do not get religion. We then, when we receive Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with him. It's not religion. It's a relationship with our Lord and Savior. Well, notice this, if you would, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 52. It says, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Well, God loves you today, and he wants you to know him as your Savior. God sent his Son to die for you on the cross of Calvary. But there's good news. He did not remain in the grave. The Bible tells us that he rose on the third day. Jesus rose from the grave. And because he's alive today, you can live. Because he's alive, those of us who have trusted him as Savior, we live. We have eternal life. And God wants you to have that eternal life today if you'll just simply trust Jesus as your Savior. Repent. That means to have a change of mind, realizing and admitting that you can't save yourself, admitting that Jesus Christ is God, he is the Savior, and he can save you. Ask him into your heart, trusting him to save you so that one day you will see him in person, and then you can say, "Lord, thank you for saving my soul." And then he could say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.